Hey everybody, welcome back. This week I'm joined by Charlotte Finn. Charlotte, hi.
Hi.
You're so welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, good. So Charlotte is from Meath, but living in Galway, very close to us here.
Yes.
So you're in college in ATU?
I am, yes.
How are you finding that?
Good, yeah. Doing marketing and sales.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's
good. Your first year?
Yeah.
Is it?
Just started.
Wow.
So semester one is just over.
What's the nightlife like in Galway at the moment?
Brilliant.
Is it?
Yeah. No, I love it.
Is nightclubs open?
Yeah, like the beer tent at the minute.
Oh, is it?
That's the spot.
In the Christmas market?
Yeah.
What nightclubs are there?
I wouldn't be big into the club, but there's like Electric in
town. Does your age, this is now like we're doing a whole total different podcast here. Is your age group not into nightclubs?
No, they are. I'm just...
Oh, you're just not.
I'd rather the pub.
Yeah.
You're and a pub live girl. Music.
Okay, love it.
Yeah.
Always good for that, isn't it?
Yeah.
The sesh, the pints.
And exactly.
The session. Very good. Okay, so obviously you are here to speak about your loss, which is your dad. So your dad is Michael. Can you tell me about your dad and your family growing up?
Yeah, so I grew up in Meath in a little village in the sticks in the middle of nowhere. And we grew up on a farm, which was lovely because we were just kind of spent my childhood outdoors. And I have three older brothers, so I'm the baby, I'm the only girl. And my mum and dad.
What was that like growing up with three boys?
Hell. I don't know. It was fine. I got on with them most of the time.
You're the baby.
Yeah. So I could do no wrong at home.
Yeah.
I was spoiled. So dad was big into farming. Anything like that. He was just very typical Irish farmer dad. He grew up in Meath as well, where we live, just down the road. And yeah, he has 10 or he's 9 siblings, 5 girls and 4 boys. So big family. Yeah, he was great. He was lovely. He's just very like funny. He was just loved farming and like all that kind of typical stuff. Yeah. So I think it was November 2019. He actually went to New York, which was very spontaneous looking back of him, to visit his brother on his own. He went over. His brother lives in New York and he went over there for about a week. And looking back, which was very nice that he actually did that. And he spent some time over there with his brother, who he wouldn't have seen maybe for a few years beforehand. And then he came home. And after being over there and coming home, he was complaining of having like... trouble swallowing, and just like that he kind of felt he couldn't keep food down nearly, or like he just could feel it going down.
Yeah,
it's honestly so foggy in my head, but I'm assuming he obviously would have got tests done and
there obviously came a day that you were going to get results.
Yeah, I remember going in with him that evening. He would have just been at home, and obviously the appointment was on in the evening because I remember it was dark outside. And me, him and my mom went in, and I stayed in the car while they went into the hospital in Mullingar. He went in with my mom, and the doctor or whoever so told him, like, you know, you have cancer of the esophagus. And obviously that was devastating for everyone, for him. But dad smoked and he was a drinker all his life. So in a way, it was no coincidence that that was the cancer he had gotten.
Okay.
Just because it's in that section, you know. And overnight, he quit both those things. He never smoked. He never drank ever again after that piece of information, which obviously was too late. Damage was done. And yeah, that was just it then.
So you were in the car. Can you remember them coming back out?
I do. I remember they were in there so long. I was ringing my mum. I was sitting out in the car. It was dark outside and it just felt like they were in there ages. And then they came back and I didn't like ask anything. I can't even remember if I knew why we were there, to be honest. So he was still having this trouble swallowing. Like, I remember like me and dad, something we would kind of always do was go out for food or go out for breakfast. That was our thing in our local little cafe in town. That was just kind of what we would do if we were ever both free on a morning. And I remember going in to the cafe. We'd always go and I was just sitting across from him at the table and he would have been having like a full Irish breakfast. And I was just looking at him and he just couldn't eat the food. And it was just so weird. And like, he was eating it, but he was kind of like very like, I don't know, like gaggy nearly. Mm-hmm. And obviously like, he'd have to go to the bathroom a few times. And I'd say to Dad, like, just go to the bathroom. Like, don't be trying to eat it. Just go. And he would. And then I was like, what the hell? Like, that's just weird. Like, it's food, do you know? And obviously that was kind of the thing me and Dad would do the most. Like, it was, we'd go for breakfast a lot. And I was like, well, that's just done. Like, we can't really do that anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, that was our thing that we would do. And he can't do it.
Mm.
Like, he can't eat. So it was just like, right. So that was the kind of first time I was kind of like, oh, okay, something really is wrong here. This man can't eat food. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, that was the first time I think I realized he was very sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then he came home. He was in and out of hospital getting chemo. And then he came home on Christmas Eve from hospital. Just kind of for the sake of Christmas. Again, we had Christmas then. It was lovely. It was just me, my brothers, my mom, dad, and then my two or three cousins, I think, stayed as well for Christmas. So that was lovely. And again, he was struggling to eat the food. Like, he could eat, but it was a mess, like, you know. And yeah, so that was Christmas. And
so obviously if he wasn't able to eat, he was losing weight and everything.
Yeah, like he never had weight. Like when I look back at photos of Dad in like October or like November of 2019, he's always been thin, but I look at photos of him like, of course he was sick. Of course he had cancer. The man is skin and bone. Like, and obviously that's like one of the big things with cancer is like an unexpected amount of weight loss, but he never had weight to lose. Mm. So we didn't see it. But when you look back, you're like, that man is not healthy. Yeah.
Right.
So then obviously January came. It was 2020 now. And almost immediately, Dad went in for surgery to get the tumour removed. And that's the chemo he was getting beforehand, was to try and shrink it as much as they could. And then the surgery was pretty successful, I suppose. He still had cancer afterwards. It didn't like completely get rid of it, so I don't know how successful that really is. But after that surgery, he was being fed by a machine at night, so eating was kind of done. Like, he would just be fed by that. Now, he could eat, but I didn't see him eat that much after then, like, do you know. And again, like a man who loved food, it's cruel nearly, like, you know, not being able to eat, like, I can't imagine it, you know. And he was very sick, like, I think even after that, he would have been weak. And
tell me about you then at that age, you're 13 and yeah, you're watching all of this.
Yeah, like.
What's going on, or are you having conversations with your dad or your mum, or is there anything like
that? I think I was just so oblivious, nearly unaware, like I knew what was going on now. But I just kind of never even thought about it. Like, I never put thinking into it. It was just kind of what was happening. And like, Dad was out of work, obviously, at this stage.
Mm.
And I actually remember throughout his whole sickness, someone must have told him in the hospital, I don't know who, but someone said to him a line he would use on everyone. He would tell anyone that asked how he was. Someone told him that if you were going to get cancer, this was the best one to get. And I was like, what's that even mean? Like, obviously some cancers can be more treatable than others, but it's like, who said that? Like, and obviously I'm here today, so it wasn't the best one you could get. But yeah, if anyone asked Dad how he was, he would tell them that. He was like, sure, your man up at the hospital told me, like, this is the best one to get, you know, if you're going to get it.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was just like, when we were hearing that, we were nearly laughing. Like, so this was January, yeah. He was just getting more chemo then and radiation. And he actually had a mini stroke at some stage. That's what they were calling it anyway.
Mm.
And after that, he was very sick and weak. So then obviously March kicked around and COVID just was there I mean, it was for everyone in the world, and it was just awful again for everyone. But obviously that meant Dad was very vulnerable, and we just kind of couldn't be with him as much because of how sick he was and how dangerous it would have been, I suppose, if he had gotten COVID, which he never did, thank God. But it just meant we couldn't visit him as much. And I mean, everyone had this problem, like not just us, but
he was in the hospital.
Yeah. And I think he kind of couldn't really understand it. Like it would have been frustrating for him if he'd just been at home, I think, because he wouldn't have been able to go places. So the fact that he was in there was nearly good, because I just don't think he wouldn't have been able to deal with it, like COVID and not being able to go outside 5 kilometers. Like, so obviously he would have been getting chemo still at this stage, but I think he just stayed in hospital instead of coming home and going up with Mam, just because it was safer. So obviously, like, he was in hospital and we were at home, so like we weren't seeing him for like weeks, do you know?
How was that as a 13-year-old?
Yeah, like just bizarre. Like everything, like obviously I'd done school, all these things, and I'd only started school. Yeah, like not being able to see him was just weird. And he hated it, of course, as anyone would. And yeah, he would just spend a lot of time in there in the hospital. So then actually in, I want to say maybe late May or early June, he got like, obviously he was getting a chemo and everything throughout this time, and he got an all clear one day, and he came home, as I remember it. And obviously this was great news, like, yeah. And he came home and he was, from the get-go, in awful pain, like his whole body nearly in awful pain. And I remember him being at home, and I remember him sitting up on the bed, and I had to rub this cream on his back because he was just so sore. He couldn't sleep with the pain. He couldn't lie down. He had to sit up at bed. You're like, what is going on? Like, he just wasn't right, you know? And he would actually go into the local GP. I remember he went into the doctor every day for about 4 days straight. He was embarrassed going in because he kept having to go in, but he didn't know what else to do. So he was going into this doctor every morning, and he's saying, like, I know I'm here again, but like, I just don't know what to do. I'm in so much pain. And then finally the doctor said to him, go back up to James's. So he went back up, and he had cancer in his bones and his lungs. And that, like, was obviously like, what? Like, oh my God. I don't think he ever had an all clear. I think that was a mistake. Like, how can he be like that one day and the next day it's doubled? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's obviously they'd got it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember my mom saying that, actually, like, I don't think that was ever actually the case. I think he always had it, and it just had gotten worse because we'd stopped treating it. It had multiplied. So that's why he was so sore, because his bones, his spine and everything, like, so from here on he was so sick, like a different man. He was never the same. He was on oxygen. He was still obviously being fed at the machine at night, you know, he wasn't really eating. And I think he actually kind of had given up eating at this stage. Well, no, he hadn't. Sorry, that's not true. He'd still been fed by the machine at night, but he wasn't really eating physical food. So obviously he went straight back into hospital. My brother, who was in Vancouver at the time living there, we called him to come home. So he came home just because he was so sick. Like, he was really, really sick. So my brother came home, and obviously that was like, I remember seeing my brother come home. I was like, right, this is weird. Like, it's obviously serious if he's coming home. But still, I just never, death was not in my head. It was never like, no, that wasn't my thought ever. Never. So I just thought Dad was very sick. That was it. So my brother came home, and obviously COVID was still a thing. It was fairly high this time as well. And Dad was in the hospital in James's still. And again, a visiting wasn't really an option, but we could take Dad out. So one day, it was lovely. Me, all my brothers and my mom, we went up and we got Dad out for the day and we brought him out, and it was a lovely sunny day. It was in June. And we went to kind of a park in Dublin and we just had a picnic. And it was lovely. Like, we were literally sat on the grass eating mom sandwiches and tea out of a flask. And looking back, that was actually our last ever family meal out, and it was a picnic. Do you know, when you look at it like that, it was something so simple, but it was lovely. And we have photos from it where, like, I'm trying to take like a photo like this landscape and everyone's just being blown away by the wind in the background. And yeah, so that was lovely. And then obviously we had to bring Dad back afterwards. He was delighted though to come out and see us and see my brother David, who he hadn't seen in since, like, he would have been back from Australia or New York. So that was lovely that day.
So he was still well enough to leave the hospital.
Yeah, he was. And also, forgot to say, but when he had gotten diagnosed with the bone and lung cancer, he was now in a body brace as well. So he had like a big brace around his neck, and I think it went down his back maybe as well, or even around like his chest. But he had this big thing like up here, and it kind of prevented him from turning his head, I think, because they were worried about his neck for whatever reason, just maybe his bones or something. So I remember him wearing that, and it looked very uncomfortable. Like, it was really right up underneath your chin like that. So he had that on him. Yeah, like in the photos, he's wearing this thing, and like, he's obviously looks sick because he has this on and he's very thin and everything like that. So after that, then Dad was still in James's. He was in there like a long time now, like weeks on end, and you kind of wouldn't see him that often. Well, I wouldn't, because I was young. Kind of my mom would have been the only one. Maybe his sisters would go up to him a few times, things like that. And then it was the 3rd of July. My birthday's on the 4th. So it was the day before my birthday. And myself and my brother, we actually went up to James's one to stay to visit him. And I don't know what the COVID restrictions were, but I was able to go in. And we met him in the cafe downstairs in James's. And I remember seeing him there, and he was waiting for us. And we went in and seen him, and he was delighted, obviously, to see us. This was me and my eldest brother. And my brother went up and he ordered our coffees or whatever we were having. And I sat down, and Dad was just kind of sat in front of me looking at me, and he just started bawling crying. He just broke down. And he was just, it was weird. Like, I was just looking at this man who has been the strongest, toughest person my entire life, and he is just in bits in front of me. And I don't even know how to comfort him. Like, I'm just kind of sat there looking at him. I don't even know how to react. Like, I'm just kind of looking at my brother over behind me at the counter, and he's just looking down at us as well, like, with just a sad face. And my dad is just in bits crying in front of me. And I just can't, I don't know what to do, because I've never seen him in this state before. And yeah, he was just crying like into his hands and everything. I just felt so sad for him, because he was sad. Do you know that kind of way? And this was the first moment for me where I thought, right, this really isn't okay. Like, he knows he's sick. We know he's sick, but he knows he's very sick. And he doesn't like being in here where we can't go see him. It was just sad, like. And then obviously, you know, he was okay, and we had a great chat, and we had coffee and hot chocolate or whatnot. And then my brother, I think, went up to pay or something, and Dad slipped me 50 euro under the table for my birthday the next day. And we said goodbye and we left. But I just remember thinking about him the whole way home, like, he's just in there now. And he's probably still sad, like, of how he reacted there, but like, obviously that's so normal. But it was just so bizarre, like, I'd never seen him like that. But he obviously couldn't help it, because that's just how he felt.
Yeah.
Just so sad. And so that was the first moment for me where I thought, this is a broken man, do you know? So then obviously I had my birthday. That was my 14th birthday now. And just, I was at home, had a cake and that. I actually have photos from it my mom would have taken of me in front of my cake. And I'd actually look a bit sad, I think, looking at the photos, because obviously that would have just happened the day before. So I'm assuming that would have been all I would have been able to think about. Like, I don't see how you could get that out of your head, seeing your dad like that. And dad wouldn't have never shown any emotion, like, do you know what I mean? So yeah, that really kind of stuck with me that day.
It's kind of frightening, isn't it, when you're younger, and if your dad, who doesn't normally cry, cries, you don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, it was just very surreal. Like, I was just
frightened almost.
Yeah, honestly, I was frightened, because I was like, he's scared of something. And dad was very positive throughout the whole thing. He would actually say, we need to stay positive, like, to my mom, if anything ever kind of abruptly happened. That was kind of his line. And then kind of, he would just spend a lot of time in hospital in July, like, but he actually came home then. There was a stage when he was at home in July, because his birthday is on the 19th of July. So he came home and he was okay. He was weak. He had like very little energy, things like that, you know. But we had his 56th birthday at home, and all the family came, all his brothers and sisters, cousins, aunties, uncles, his mom, everyone. And they were all at the house. It was a really nice day. It was so sunny and everyone was just there. And we just had, like, there was a cake. Everyone was there. I remember he had his tractor parked up in the yard for everyone to get a picture in front of. Just little things like that. And he was tired, but like, he loved it. Do you know, we got so many photos that day, everything like that. And it was just lovely, like. And I actually remember, I think it was the last time I ever seen him eat food was that day. I brought him in, he was sitting up in the sitting room, and I brought him in it's like a chocolate mousse yogurt, and I just watched him eat that. And that was the last time I've ever seen him eat food. So that again kind of related back to our thing of going for breakfast and things like that. Like, that was done. I was thinking in my head, like, even if this man miraculously got cured, we would never go for breakfast, or we'd never go out for food ever again. Which is such a done thing. Like, that was just our thing that we would do. And that was done. That was put to bed, do you know? So that was sad, in a sense. Sad for him as well, because obviously, like, again, he loved food. Like, so that day he was fine. Like, he loved having everyone there. He looks very happy in the pictures and everything. And then he was just kind of, I remember he kind of went in. Then after a while, he was just tired. So he just went in and he was just sitting down. And then the day after that, so that was on a Sunday, the Monday afterwards, it was that he was going into hospital, mom was bringing him up, and he was getting another kind of thing of chemo.
Right.
And that kind of did him no good. That day, he was never the same after that. So he went in, mom brought him in, and he got chemo that day. But, you know, like, to get chemo, you kind of have to have, like, a bit of health. You really need to be well as you can be. And he just wasn't. Like, he was so weak. He had no energy. Like, he wasn't eating, obviously, other than his nighttime feed.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he was nearly 2 weeks to be getting it, but he got it, and it floored him. You know, he was never this. It was, nothing was ever the same after that, that day. We kind of said, like, he probably shouldn't have gotten that. Yeah, so that would have been on the 20th of December that he got that chemo. Sorry, the 20th of July that he got that chemo. Then he was just, again, very sick after that. And I remember then I went out for coffee in town with mom one day, and we were just in a little cafe, and we got back into the car afterwards. Like, we were still just doing things, you know, everyone was kind of just doing their own thing. David was at home, my older brother. And, like, yeah, we were just kind of getting on with it, but, like, we knew where he was. And so I went into town on this day with mom, and we had coffee, cake, and then we got into the car afterwards. I remember we were parked just outside the coffee shop. And before we started driving or anything, mom's phone rang, and it connected into the car, so it was on speaker. And it was a nurse up in James's. And she said, you know, like, basically she said, like, there isn't much more we can really do for Michael. Just because he'd obviously gotten this chemo. It wasn't doing anything. He was so sick. There just wasn't really much more for him. So I was listening to this whole call, like, and I remember just staring at myself in the wing mirror of the car. Like, I couldn't look anywhere else. I was just listening to this. And then she was kind of talking about his options, and she just said the word hospice. And I had heard this word before, like, from past family members. And I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. I was like, hospice, like, what? And I was looking, I was just staring at myself in the wing mirror of the car because I couldn't look at my mum. I was like, oh my God. And she was like, you know, she was just saying, like, does he want to go to the hospice or does he want to go home or whatever? So, yeah. And then this call hung up or whatever. And me and mum explained to me, she said, you know, Charlotte, dad's not going to get any better. And she said, he's probably just going to, you know, come home and pass away. And I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. Because I know dad was sick. I know he was so sick. But I never thought he would die. Never. It just didn't cross my mind. I don't know if it was because I was so young and innocent, but I just didn't calculate that at all. So me and mum just cried in the car, and then we just drove home listening to sad music. And then my older brothers and my dad and mum had like kind of a talk in the hospital, kind of where they kind of discussed like what he was going to do. And dad agreed that he would go to hospice for pain management, and the plan would be he'd then come home and be at home then. So that was the plan. He was happy to do that. I'm like, God, what did he think in this moment? You know, like when you really think, like, I would love to know what he thought. Like, because again, dad, another thing that dad would tell people was that he'd be back to work in September. That was his line as well. Like, I'd be back to work in September. Sure, he had the best cancer you could get. All these things were in his head, and he was so positive. I'm like, I don't think he would have been able to believe it either. You know? Like, he just, yeah. Like, it's so sad like that. So, pretty much immediately after that, he went to St. Francis Hospice in Blanchardstown. Such a lovely place. Oh my God, like, the staff there, so lovely, so good and kind. And they couldn't have done like enough for us. So dad was there. He went there kind of the last kind of week or so of July. And it was so lovely. Like, when I think back to the time of the hospice, obviously it was so sad, but it was so lovely. Like, oh my God. And the hospice was so great because the COVID restrictions, they just didn't apply there. Like, we could go in, you could stay the night, you could visit all you wanted.
Okay.
It was so lovely. And like, that was like such a blessing because we just didn't have that anywhere else at this time because of COVID.
Yeah.
Like, the timing of COVID, obviously for everyone in the world, but it was just so awful. So it was great. Like, dad, obviously, when he was in hospice, he was very like low energy. He was, some days he would be awake and he could talk to you, and other days he'd just be completely asleep.
Okay.
But the room was so lovely. Mum brought in like flowers cut from the garden, and we had a board from home. It was such a lovely idea. It was just kind of like this wooden board, and Mum stuck photos all over it of us and just memories from all through the years. And it was all on this board, and it was on a table in front of his bed so he could just look at it. And there was just holy water. There was just everything, like little things from home. And it was so lovely. Like, oh my God. The room just felt like home. Do you know that kind of way? Yeah. And we would just go in there some days and we would just sit there and hold his hand. And that was just kind of what we would do. And then, you know, he was very comfortable there. And the staff, I remember actually one day we were just getting ready to leave and this male nurse came in and he was like, so my dad, I'm going to give you a shave today. And dad was kind of rooting out his electric razor. And he was like, no, put that away. I'm going to give you a proper shave. And he had like, you know, like a regular razor, whatever. Yeah. And it was just things like that, little things like that I knew meant so much to him. It was just kind, like, just nice things.
Yeah, that the you could do. This is amazing.
Yeah. Oh my God, so nice.
Yeah.
So then, you know, we kind of said to Dad then, you know, he was obviously, he'd no pain anymore. He felt, he got that managed. And the plan was then he would come home. But he actually said in the end, he was comfortable here and he didn't want to go home. And he actually, I remember him saying to my mom, they don't hurt me here. Because, not that they'd hurt him in James's, but just like the wires and everything pulling at you. It's not comfortable. So he was so happy there and he didn't want to go home. He just, he loved it there. So he didn't go home. He stayed there actually. And it was the best thing for him at the time. Like, it was just lovely.
Mm.
So he was there for about, it was less than a week. And then on the 29th of July, also when he was there, my brothers and my mom would kind of take turns, and some of his siblings as well, they would stay the night with him. So there was always someone kind of with him, which was nice. But on the 29th of July, my brother, my middle brother, had stayed the night there with him. And then me and mom were going to go up that morning, and we were on our way up. And we were actually planning on going to Liffey Valley first, just to do that. And then we were going to go into him afterwards. And we were just on the road. And Mam's phone rang again, connecting into the car. So it was on speaker. And it was my auntie. And she and my other auntie were with Dad at this time. And she just said, "Hi, where are ye?" We were like, "Oh, we're just on the way up now. We're going to go into Liffey Valley. Would we be better off going straight?" And she was like, "Yeah, Michael's just had a bit of a turn here. If you want to maybe just come on straight." We were like, okay. So then the phone went, the nurse took the phone off my auntie. She was like, "Hi, you know, if you could just get here kind of whenever you can, that'd be great." So yeah, we weren't far at this stage. So we just said, you know, obviously we're not going to go to Liffey Valley. We'll just go straight. And we were on the way. And I just remember it was very silent in the car between me and my mum. And I nearly felt awkward with the silence. So we were just driving in to the hospice, and I just seen this big flock of birds overhead, like a huge, weirdly big flock of birds. And I just felt awkward, so I was trying to break the silence. So I just said to my mum, "Do you just look at them birds?" No, like that kind of way.
Mm.
Didn't think anything of it. And so then we parked the car and we went in. And usually every day when you go into the hospice, you would have to, at the reception, you'd go in, you kind of like sign in, and then you'd have to go and sanitize your hands and kind of just tick a box on a piece of paper to say that you hadn't had COVID in the last 14 days, something like that. And when we went in, the receptionist kind of seen us and she was like, "Hi, yeah, you can go straight on upstairs." I was really thinking in my head, can I not just please just do my hands, tick the box? Because I just knew what was waiting for me upstairs. Do you know that kind of way? And I was like, please just let me do this. But obviously we just went straight up. And we got in the lift. And Mam was kind of holding on to me like that, you know, squeezing me. And I don't think I even realized. I was just so oblivious. I knew, but I didn't want to know. Do you know that kind of way? And I remember we were walking up this long corridor. And it just felt like slow motion from then on. Because I was just like, I'm walking out of my childhood. That's what it felt like. I was just walking up this long corridor. I felt like I was walking away from the life I just had. And I remember as we got closer to the door, I just kept, in my head, I just kept saying, "Please be breathing. Please be breathing." Over and over. And then the door, we knocked on the door and it opened and the nurse was just there. And she was speaking. She was obviously saying, like, "I'm so sorry, but, you know, Michael just passed away." But I just didn't hear her words. I looked directly past her to him. And he was there in the bed. And he was gone. He just looked so peaceful. I remember his head was like tilted. He was just lying there. And my aunties, two of my aunties' sisters, were like on the other side of the bed. And Mam went over beside him. And I just stood there looking at him. I didn't cry. I just stood staring at him. Because I just couldn't believe it. And I was just so like, again, I knew he was sick. I knew what hospice meant, but I just never thought he would die. Never. It just didn't cross my mind. I was told, but I didn't believe it. Do you know that kind of way? So.
You're so young.
Yeah.
14?
14, yeah. And I'm just staring at him for what felt like ages. I'm sure it was just a few seconds. And he is just there. And that was just it then. Like, none of my siblings were with him. My mom, which was nice in a way. Like, my brother had just left to go with the shop. So it was like he waited until none of us were there. And yeah, he was just there. And then I just start crying into my hands. And yeah, and then my mom said, she said, I knew when you said the flock of birds overhead when we were driving in. And I'm just saying that pure out of like, to break the silence. But she said, I knew when you said that, I knew that was him gone. And it was, because he died about 20 past 11. And we got there about half.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just, I couldn't believe what I was looking at. I couldn't believe what was actually happening. I just couldn't. And I don't think Dad would have believed. I don't think he would have believed he died. Do you know? So my brother, then we kind of rang my brother Kevin, and I don't even know if we rang him because he was probably on his way back anyway. He was only gone to the shop around the corner. So he got back anyway and he came in. And he obviously had the same experience, like we told him, you know, passed away. And then we rang my oldest brother who was at home. We told him he need to come up now and go pick up my younger brother from work. So he did. And they came. And then we were just all there around him. And then obviously we rang with our family and everything. And then I remember there's a kind of family waiting room outside. And I remember just sitting there. Afterwards, I could not believe what was happening. I just could not wrap my head around it. And I was in shock. Like, you were like, why was I in shock when I seen it coming? But I just didn't. I just didn't see it coming. I don't know why. I was just young, I suppose, and didn't want to think about that. So I just didn't. I didn't think about it. And then it happened and I was just absolutely thrown away. Like, I couldn't believe it. So,
not prepared.
Yeah.
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 It comes as such a massive shock.
I know, yeah.
It's something we probably don't think about as adults because, you know, 14-year-old is still a child.
Mm.
And as an adult, we probably gear ourselves up. We can see when someone's dying. But yeah, a 14-year-old doesn't want to think about that, as you said. So then the shock is something you probably don't realise.
No, yeah. I just don't think I wanted to believe it in a way. So, I just could not believe it. So then, you know, more family came up and he was moved then to like a different room where he was dressed and kind of put together a bit. And then I remember I started to get messages from friends and I was like, oh my God, like I couldn't believe what I was reading. They were saying like, so sorry like to hear about your dad. I was like, people know this has happened. Like this isn't just inside this room. Like this has happened outside of here. And I couldn't grasp that. I was like, why do people know about this? Like, do you know? It was just so mad the way I was thinking. So then obviously we rang the funeral director and Dad was home that evening, which was so lovely. So it was a very quick day, you know, like there's so much happening. I remember being at home on all floors, scrubbing the bathroom floor. It's like, what am I doing? Do you know, because people were, like family were coming over to the house. But it was so nice that we had him that evening at home. And yeah, then family came over. We just did like a rosary that evening. And then the next day, we just kind of were getting stuff together, you know, and like the funeral, the days kind of after this are like so blurred because like you're just go, go, go. You don't have time to think.
Yeah. And you're like, not sleeping properly.
No. Like, other than like, honestly, from November to when dad, or sorry, December when dad got diagnosed to now, I can't tell you, other than COVID happening, I can't tell you one thing that happened in my life that wasn't to do with him and this. Like, I have no memory of what I was doing, if I was going over to friend's house, or like what my hobbies were at that time, or I don't know. This was what was life at that time. I just don't have memories of any other thing. This was it.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, this was just all it was. And at the funeral, or the days coming up to the funeral, we had the wake the day before, but we had a day before that to just kind of get things done or whatever. And then we had the wake, again, COVID. So, like, we obviously had people there. It was just like you had to kind of not really shake hands in a way, which is awkward at a wake and a funeral because that's kind of what you do.
Yeah.
But I remember a lady that I kind of just know of from my parish came up to me and she was like, "Charlotte, like, I'm so sorry. Like, how are you?" And I was like, "I'm good, thanks. How are you?" I was like, "Why did I say that?" Do you know what? Like, I was just like, did I actually just say that to that woman? Like, obviously she didn't care, but I was just like, that was just weird. Why did I say that? Like, I just didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
So that was just what came out of my mouth. I was like, "I'm grand, thanks. How are you?"
Yeah, I know.
Do you know?
Yeah. Well, it's a big question. To ask a 40-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, where do I start? You know.
Honestly. So then, the funeral was the next day. Remember, it was a lashing rain the morning of it. And another thing that I just did not see coming was having to say goodbye. That just, again, didn't see that coming ahead of me. And all of a sudden it was just there and it was the morning of. And we had dad in the front room and all my family and everyone was in the kitchen and we went in. It was just me and my brothers and my mom, I think. And, you know, we just had to kind of say goodbye. And all of a sudden I was just like, what? I just didn't see this coming at me. And all of a sudden I was just doing it. And I was like, oh, right, yeah, I have to do this. I forgot, like, I didn't realise. And I just, like, remember I went up to him and I held his hand and I couldn't look at his face. Because I knew that if I looked at his face, I'd have to look away. So I just remember staring at his hand and then I left and I went to the kitchen and I just could not stop crying. Thank you. So yeah, and then another thing was obviously I had to be in the car after him when the hearse was driving up the road to the church, because the church isn't far. So, but I didn't get in the car until like the last second because I was just stood outside. And I remember we have like a little driveway and I was just stood there. I was watching the hearse drive out of the house. I just could not believe what I was looking at. I was like, how is that him leaving here for the last time? So yeah, it was just like sad. It's the only way to describe it, like. But yeah, then we followed the hearse to the funeral. And again, I think at the time it was, the restrictions were that you could have 50 people in the church. So we had, but then like there was a crowd outside. It was so lovely, like really, really lovely. There were so many people. And we had the funeral. I said a reading. I don't remember much from the funeral at all. Just, it was, yeah, I remember sitting there crying. And I was like, I need to cop on because I need to get up and do a reading in a minute. Do you know that kind of way? I just had to like gather myself. And then we left the church, walked, we wheeled him out, me and my mum, my brothers, and went to the graveyard. I remember very little from the graveyard. Like, I really don't remember much. I remember, you know, we all had like a rose that we'd throw down into the coffin, so on top of the coffin. So we did that. And then we just went back to the house. And yeah, we just had food there and everyone was there. But it was just so like, you kind of didn't even like process what was happening when it was happening. Like, it was just very like, you're just there, you're existing. You're not grieving in that moment, like you're just doing that. Because there's so much going on, there's so many people to talk to, you're kind of distracted. So like, honestly, that was fine. Like, that was an easy day in a way. So, yeah. And then the days after that were just like blur. I think we had one day at home and we just would have been doing whatever. And then the next day, so Dad got buried on the 31st of July. On the 2nd of August, Mom was just like, let's go somewhere. So me, my mom, possibly my brother, I can't remember, but maybe she just brought us to Galway and we just went to the Aran Islands.
I like her style.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. It was very like that. Just let's just leave. And we did. And I think we stayed the night somewhere in Galway, maybe. But yeah. And that was the first time I ever went to the Aran Islands. I don't know what one it was, but, and I love the Aran Islands, like one of my favourite places. And that was my first time ever going there. And it was just so like, you're just in another world. Like, it's just outdoors. You're like on the edge of this cliff, looking out into this ocean, like being there and doing that after doing what you just did 3-4 days ago. It's just like, it just works. It made so much sense to do that and just be there instead of being at home cleaning up after what was just
throwing out the lilies.
Yeah.
The endless amounts of flowers. Yeah. And putting the furniture back. And,
yeah. No. You
know, yeah.
That's what we did.
There's a real coldness.
Yeah. Cold.
Isn't there?
That is house? It. Yeah.
Yeah.
So cold and so quiet.
It's a good idea to just go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did. And then.
But then you have to come back.
Yeah. So then we obviously came back and Mum was off work then for a while. And yeah, we just kind of, my family were all great, like my dad's siblings and all. They're very good to us and we just kind of did whatever those next few days. I actually don't remember.
But when you settle back in then
yeah,
to life as time goes on.
Yeah.
How did you find, you know, you're such a young girl, yeah, you're 14. I mean, you're still young. What are you now, 19?
Yeah.
You're still young. But, you know, as a 14-year-old then, like, you know, what's your recollection of just all that time afterwards? Or
yeah,
what like, stands out to you?
Just like that this is the life now. Like this was what we were. I just kind of couldn't believe that like that happened to us and that happened to me. Like I couldn't believe that my dad died. Yeah, it was just so weird, like, and again, like the time when we, like, when I look back at the time in the hospice, I'm like, that was so lovely. Like, it was so sad, but it was so lovely.
Yeah, you feel held or something.
Yeah, nice, it was so nice.
Yeah.
So then kind of August was just kind of getting into a bit of a routine as much as you could, or just like getting on as much as you could, just living, like trying to. And then I obviously hadn't been in school since March, and then September rolled around and I was to go back. COVID was, you were allowed to go back, I suppose. And yeah, we obviously had like a month's mind for that in August, whatever. We just kind of went to mass. We had food again, my grannies and all. Like that kind of month, I don't remember it, to be honest. Yeah. Like so blurred.
It all rolls into one,
yeah,
then, doesn't
exactly,
it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So you went back to school then in September?
Went back to school.
How was that?
Yeah, like, not, maybe like one or two of my friends would have known what happened to me. I know, because a lot of, like, where I go to school, it's a lot of, where I went to school, it was a lot of different parishes would just go to school, you know?
Yeah.
They kind of joined a lot of people together. So not everyone would have been from where I lived and would have known what had happened. Mm. The school did, like, teachers and stuff would say it to me, and they were very good. But yeah, it was just like just here doing that then. And school in a way was good though, because it was a distraction. It gave me something to do.
Mm.
So that was grand. Got back into that kind of routine. And then I remember in September, yeah, it would have been September. I remember just sitting in class one day and I was writing down the date, and it was 2 months since he died. I was like, God, no one knows that here. Only me. And it was just significant that I was just writing that down. And I was like, oh, my dad died 2 months ago today.
Mm.
You know, it's like, there's nothing I can really do about that.
Lonely.
Yeah, it was lonely.
Yeah. As a young teenager.
Mm. Yeah.
Did you keep it very much to yourself? You didn't speak or anything about it?
No, like even when he was sick, I think I told one of my friends one day, she was like, why were you in the hospital yesterday? I was like, oh, my dad has cancer. I turned back around and I was like, oh, my dad has cancer. Do you know, that kind of way? Like,
shocking yourself, yeah. Even. And then after, you know, when you settle into life after your dad is gone, do you keep very silent again? Or are people worried about you? Do you get therapy or anything like that?
No, like, it was fine. Like, it was just, that's what happened and it was sad. And we would talk about it a bit at home, about him. Like, we do talk about him now and again if something comes up. But, yeah, like, after a while it did get easier, do you know, like, with time, I suppose. I don't think your grief really ever really goes away. I mean, I'd never experienced grief like this before. I remember just like, it was very overwhelming. But yeah, like those years, like 2021, 2022, they were just ticking by. I think they went by so quickly. And obviously my dad is dead 5 years this year, which is like kind of the first kind of half milestone in a way. It's just like, the time just went so quickly. Like, I suppose when it first happened, that first year, I don't think you're grieving in the first year. I think you're literally, for me especially, I was in shock still. Yeah. Just like, couldn't believe it. And then 2022, it would have been 2 years then. And it was just kind of very like, wow, you're really like in it then. You're like, he's not coming home. He's not just at work. He's gone. And yeah, like you're kind of drowning then, nearly, because it's just like all around you, especially like when it just happens, that's all you can kind of think about. But then I suppose as years go on, you're doing new things with your life and things like that, and you can breathe a bit more.
Mm.
It's still there, you know, like that still happened, but you can just navigate it a bit better, I suppose.
Do you remember, like, is there any day in particular over those years that have passed that was your hardest day? Do you remember any time that it was just
the worst? When I was in second year, so this would have been within the year he died, my school would have, we had like a half day Wednesday. So like we'd go home early on a Wednesday, and I'd come home and there'd be no one else at home. And I would just be like, I really feel the silence of the house then, because it was just so quiet, because I was the only one there until like my mom or whoever got in from work. And that was kind of when I, because dad worked with OPW, by the way, I didn't mention, but he would have been home actually on Wednesdays. I remember him being at home on Wednesdays. And so yeah, it was just very quiet in the house, and I really felt it, like, you know. But yeah, nothing in, like, there's no particular day where I'm like, oh, that was awful.
Mm.
Some days just were. That was just that.
What do you miss the most about him?
Just his presence, you know, around the house. Dad always wore big boots. You'd always hear him around the house. And yeah. I was only thinking the other day, like, he kind of feels so far away. Like, 5 years ago feels ages away to me. And I remember thinking, like, just this year, like, if I'm just at home walking around the house or in the front room where we waked him, I'm just like, God, he was right here. Like, we had him. He was here. And sometimes I actually forget that. I'm like, there actually was a time where he was in my life. He existed. Where it just feels like that was ages ago to me, you know? And we have a drawer upstairs with all of his stuff in it. And I just like looking through that or pictures. Like, I love looking through pictures and trying to find things that I haven't found. Do you know that kind of way? Like, I'm like, one day I'm going to find every picture. Like, there's not going to be another one to find. Do you know that kind of way? And even like, I seem to find new things all the time that I'm like, how have I not found that already? Like, because I searched the house. And I think it was only this year that I found, like, well, I knew where they were, but I just never went through them. It was all like the mask cards we would have gotten. And I loved reading through them. Just little things like that. And then I remember, I don't know when this was, maybe a few years ago now, I was looking through this drawer that we have upstairs with all this stuff, and I found a notepad. And in the notepad, Dad had dated the page with the date. It was just a day in July. So it would have been when he was either in hospital, it was probably in hospital, and he'd been really sick at this time. And on the page, he just wrote down all our names. It was just my mum, my brothers, me, and my two cousins that used to live with us. He just wrote down all our names. I thought, that's just sad, like. Because he was, I looked at the date, like, he would have been in hospital, and he just wrote down all our names in his notepad. I was like, God, something about that was very sad, like, finding that. Or I found, like, I logged into his, like, Google Photos. So it would have been, like, his camera roll on his phone. Because my mom had his phone when he died, so I didn't really have them. So I logged in to this, and again, in July, when he would have been in maybe even hospice at this stage, you were able to kind of message people on it, and he messaged my mum on it, and he sent two pictures of me. And, you know, he would have been so little energy, he could probably barely type. And he just wrote in one, like in two different messages, he wrote, Charlotte, my world, Charlotte. And obviously I found that like years later. But it was so nice to find that. Because obviously, again, like the birthday message, it meant more to me then than it ever did back then, you know? And and like, this is a man, like, at this time, because I can see the date of the message. Like, he could barely speak, you know, and he'd obviously typed this all out, and he had, like, commas in it and everything, where they just didn't need to be, but, you know, that kind of way. When he just sent that, it was just lovely, like, to find that.
Yeah. That's devastating.
Yeah.
It's really sad. It's quite hard to think, isn't it, about someone coming to the end of their life and what they must be feeling, what they must be thinking.
Yeah.
And that's the lesson that we should all know, is that at the end of the day, the only thing that mattered to that man was his family.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Yeah. The notepad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you in a picture.
Yeah.
There was nothing else that actually mattered. And that's what makes it all the more devastating, because you know they wanted to stay. They didn't want to leave.
Yeah. I remember people saying, like my family saying afterwards, like, Michael would not be able to believe that he's dead. He wouldn't believe it. Maybe he'd be in shock himself.
Maybe you were like him, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Honestly.
Just that type of character just couldn't actually take in what was happening.
No. Because he just had such a positive attitude throughout it. Like.
What age was your dad when he passed?
56.
56, yeah.
Just turned 56, yeah.
That's right, sure. He just had his birthday.
He had his birthday that day. We were all at home together. That was 10 days before he died.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly 10 days. I remember saying that when we were just after we went into the hospice on the 29th. We were like, what day is it? We're the 29th. I was like, we were all at home 10 days ago having birthday cake and doing all that.
No wonder you were shocked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think one of the days in the hospice, you know, I think it's kind of a common thing that happens where like the patient will like kind of nearly seem like they're actually doing better.
Yeah.
But that sometimes can be.
They rally. They call that the rally or something.
I remember there was a day where he was kind of sat up and he was talking. And I think someone said like, God, you know, he could come out of this yet. And I was like, yeah, probably will.
You know?
But that was just.
Wasn't to be.
No.
What would you like, if you could explain to older people?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to make out like you're 10 years old here, but you're quite young.
Mm-hmm.
You were quite young when this happened.
Yeah.
You still are young, but you've more of a grasp on things probably now.
Yeah.
But what would you, if you could explain to people, what is it like to be that young? I never experienced any sort of grief as a teenager and the years that followed. And now, like, what do you think we don't understand? That's a big question.
Yeah, no.
Do you have any thoughts on it?
I just think when you're like that age, like, and you've just started secondary school, like that is your life. Like you're making new friends. Like you feel old. Like you're in big school now and you're doing this and it's just like you aren't kind of thinking of those things at that age. Like your parents aren't supposed to die at that age. You know? You think you have all this time. But then one day you just don't. And that day for me was in the cafe with Dad crying in front of me. Then I was like, oh, just lost years there. You know, he's not well and he probably isn't going to be here much longer. And then he just wasn't. But yeah, like, you just kind of don't know how to think of it. Like, it's just very, like, you can be told something is going to happen, but it can be something like you don't want to happen, so you just won't think about it in a way. Like, it's hard to explain, but yeah.
I guess you're not. It's quite difficult to prepare a younger person
because
they don't want to think about it, so therefore there's no brace, so it's always going to knock them sideways.
Yeah.
There's a huge element of shock, it sounds like, for you.
Shock, yeah.
Even though your dad was passing away in front of your eyes.
I just couldn't believe
it. As a teenager, you just couldn't.
No.
It's just important for people to
understand.
Like,
I knew. It's not like I didn't know he was going to die. But I just didn't.
You didn't expect it to come and to happen. Yeah.
No. And then I just walked straight into it. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That actually happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you lost a good part of your childhood, as you said that day when you were leaving it behind you as you walked down that corridor?
Yeah.
Did you feel that?
I did, yeah, because like most of my memories from my childhood are like on the farm with Dad, or like we kind of had the tradition going for a few years where we would pick a day during the summer and we would drive up to the Wicklow Mountains and we'd just drive around there and then we'd go for dinner in Johnny Fox's pub up there. And we did that for a few years in a row. And again, I suppose that was kind of gone early when he stopped eating, things like that again. But yeah, it was just, like, in my, like, I have so many photos on my phone of when, like, I'm just younger and I'm just always there with him on the quad or doing something like that. Like, I was very outdoors when I was younger, do you know, and it was on the farm and it was with him, you know.
So you really felt that ending?
Yeah. Yeah.
He did a lot with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. And so then, I suppose, as a young person, when that stops, it's very obvious.
Yeah, because you exactly.
Can listen, thinking back to what you were saying earlier about going for the food.
Yeah.
It's so important. Again, you're not this adult that's out in the world doing their own thing, meeting their own friends, getting in a car. Like, you're very close to your parents until you get to now when you're in college. Yeah. But before that, when things like that stop.
Yeah. It's like your life is doing stuff, like, you know,
with your parents a lot of the time. Well, they facilitate you. They get you from A to B. And then, you know, when he ends up going into hospital and sick, and that just stops. It's obviously so obvious to a teenager. You really feel that sudden stop.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like life stops there and then. Yeah.
Because there's very little of my life as a secondary school student that he would have seen. Because I started in September. He was already in a hospital in December.
Yeah.
And then after that, there was very little of him at home, like.
Yeah. What about your family then? Like, you know, obviously your mum.
Yeah, mum.
Lost her husband. Yeah. Like, for you, did you find that hard then to have your mum grieving?
Yeah, of course. But mum's great. Like, mum has taken up so many hobbies since, like, oh my God, does cold water swimming.
A lot of people that jump in that sea is grieving.
That is her thing now.
Good for her.
And she's met so many lovely women through it and everything. And she's really goer, like, she does everything, you know.
Yeah.
Very positive as well.
You know, it's been eye-opening, I suppose, talking to you and hearing about everything. You know, I first spoke to you, you sent me a message one day, and I remember getting it saying that you'd found the podcast and it really, you really liked listening to it. It's funny, we were chatting at the start about how sometimes people are like, why would you listen to something so depressing?
Yeah.
It is important.
Just resonate with it,
And I can't believe the amount of young people that, like, you know, 17, 18, 19-year-olds are listening.
Yeah.
And you find this helpful.
Yeah, no, like, I listened ages ago, like over a year ago, to an episode one day. And I really liked it. And then I just didn't listen. And then when I moved to Galway for college, I was getting a 3-hour bus from Kittygat to Galway every week, twice, and I would just put it on, and I'm just back to back.
Yeah, it does help, doesn't it? Because there was a couple on as well that are, you know, there was Niamh, who was 17.
Mm-hmm,
and
Chris,
I think it was 17 as well. It's like so important to hear other people, because I'm sure you don't find a lot of people that can relate to you.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And like, even like, I know if I like meet someone, like a new friend or something in college, like the first thing I'm telling them is not like, oh, my dad's dead, you know. So I could be with people who, and I just don't know, because there's no easy way to say it. Like, you don't want to make it awkward or anything. So you're just kind of like,
it's not the first thing you bring up.
Yeah.
Well, look, it has been your turn this week, and you will no doubt help someone else who's sitting listening, tuning in this week. Yeah. You know, are you hopeful for the future in terms of like your own life? Are you excited?
Yes, I am.
Are you?
I really am.
That's nice.
Yeah.
You're going to just go and live life.
Yeah, exactly. See it all.
The way your dad would want you to.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate
having me.
You're welcome.